Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Good morning again. I'm Deborah Becker, in for Bob Oakes. The Boston mayoral race is in the final stretch. With less than 3 weeks before the election, the candidates are campaigning heavily. On Monday, we'll profile incumbent Mayor Tom Menino. Today, we look at City Councilor Michael Flaherty. The 40-year-old former prosecutor has been running for office since he was 25, but many Boston residents say they don't know much about him. WBUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonez reports.
Michael Flaherty has spent the last 10 years on the Boston City Council. Now that he's running for mayor, some of his colleagues are surprised by who he's become. A candidate who calls himself inclusive, a progressive, and different from Tom Menino. Maura Hennigan served with Flaherty for 6 years.
It's almost like there is Michael Flaherty Part 1 and Michael Flaherty Part 2.
So who is Michael Flaherty? There's no doubt about where he came from. A political family in South Boston. His father was a state representative and later a judge. But his father urged him away from politics.
I think that if his father had his way, Michael would be doing anything but running for office.
Joe Hamilton has been friends with Flaherty since grade school. He said the senior Flaherty gave this advice.
You live your life, I've had my life, and you've gone through school, you've worked really hard now. Go make your own trail. And he advised all of us. There's other ways of making a living out there.
Flaherty learned how to talk to voters from his father, but it was his Uncle Jimmy who taught him how to be a political operative. Just talking about Jimmy makes Michael Flaherty's eyes well up.
Jimmy would be the one to kind of give you the straight scoop of, you know, all the things that sort of go into, you know, a campaign and go into issues, whereas my father was more the front person.
In 1994, Jimmy was killed in Florida, where he was leading a double life.
Unbeknownst to anyone in the family, he was straight, you know, while in Boston, and he was gay while in Florida. So to this day, I often wonder whether or not if the climate in 1994 around LGBT issues was the climate that we have today in 2009, would he still be around? And, you know, that's something that, I'll probably always struggle with.
His uncle's murder also influenced his politics, according to Flaherty. For years, he spoke passionately about homophobia. Then, once he was on the council, Flaherty was the first city official to endorse gay marriage. That impressed David Breen, a gay friend who worked with Flaherty as a prosecutor years before.
Running from South Boston for city council at large, and from a district where he has a strong base, there was no reason he needed to be so out front on gay marriage. Absolutely no political reason for him to do it. He did it because it was the right thing to do. He did it because he understood that there were people like his uncle who died because they couldn't live openly. He did it because he had friends, he had relatives who were gay, who needed that help.
Flaherty wears his support for gay marriage as a liberal badge of honor. That and his early support for Barack Obama. But many city observers associate Flaherty with positions against rent control, affirmative action, and school busing. Miriam Ortiz runs the Boston Parents Organizing Network and is skeptical of Flaherty when it comes to schools.
When an elected official goes back and forth on issues that are so fundamental, you know, impacting the lives of low-income children and children of color in Boston public schools, I tend to be cautious.
That's because around 2004, Flaherty led the charge to stop busing in the Boston public schools to save money and so more students could attend their neighborhood schools. But this year, he scaled back that plan, saying the city has to improve the quality of education first. He says he changed his position because he learned more.
I didn't realize that we had so many underperforming schools until, you know, I joined the council, and specifically until I actually served as I presided over the education budget hearings.
Flaherty says some people unfairly demonize him because he's from South Boston, the neighborhood associated with the busing riots in the 1970s.
The topic of education and school transportation is and can be a very polarizing argument. So the minute someone steps up to the plate and says, why are we spending this money, and don't you think this money would be better spent in the classroom, immediately there are some people, all right, that take that a certain way. There are other people that take it a completely different way.
Flaherty has made a number of other switches on the death penalty, affirmative action, and Boston University's plan to build a biolab in Roxbury. Flaherty supported building the biolab until a few years ago, after Hurricane Katrina hit. The government's slow response to that disaster made Flaherty wonder how the government would react if a disaster struck the biolab, where they plan to store dangerous pathogens like the Ebola virus. If you take Flaherty at his word, he sounds like a guy who takes a strong opinion, but might bend after more experience with the issue. But others wonder if it's a strategy to become more electable. His colleagues, including Councillor John Tobin, describe Flaherty as ambitious and a risk-taker with remarkable behind-the-scenes political skills.
Being council president, getting there is kind of like herding cats. That's a situation where it truly is not over till it's over, till the final vote is cast. You have 12 people you're dealing with and their personalities and people going back and forth. And he was able to become council president after one term, and he held on to that council presidency for 5 years, which is pretty remarkable.
Tobin says Flaherty was effective getting work done on the council, but the flip side of being so efficient was that he sometimes alienated his colleagues, according to current and former councillors. Flaherty was the ringleader of a group of 6 young city councillors, all white men, that the news media dubbed the Young Turks. There was a generational divide between this group and everyone else who was over 40, including the only black and Latino councillors. Many in this group complained that Flaherty was an autocratic leader who didn't reach outside of his clique. Councillor Charles Yancey says he didn't like the way Flaherty treated him early on.
Some of the things that he did was on the verge of being very disrespectful, and I just chalk it up to an experience, I don't view him the same way now. I think that he has grown and matured a bit.
But former Councillor Maura Hennigan says she never saw Flaherty lose his cool.
He may have disagreed with us, but he was never disagreeable about it, in that way. Respectful, although not necessarily, once he made his decision, that was it, and there was nothing more to be said about it.
For Hennigan, Flaherty's attempt to unseat Mayor Menino has an ironic twist.
Councillor Flaherty, I kind of viewed as part of Tom Menino's team. He would refer to the mayor, as his mayor, and we have to work together. So it actually is a little bit humorous for me to watch it now.
And perhaps that's the biggest curiosity about Michael Flaherty. It's been said for years that he was the heir apparent to Menino, that Menino would retire from politics and endorse and help Flaherty. Now, Flaherty's running as his own man and still defining who that man is. For WBUR, I'm Bianca Vasquez-Tonis.
On Monday, we profile Flaherty's rival, incumbent mayor Tom Menino, who's running for a 5th term.